grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Dr. John Diamond, wishing you a happy Thanksgiving week. We are the show that is fervently patriotic and unapologetically Christian. You can find me at AmericaUnhingedRadio.com. Follow us live on Brighteon.tv. More and more people are learning about Brighteon TV and the many great guests that we have here covering a wide range of things from journalism to theology to health. And it's a great platform to be on, a great bunch of people that I'm blessed to be in fellowship with and working with, truth seekers, truth tellers. And it's a great platform that the Lord has raised up. You can also find us over on BrighteonRadio.com, where we're simulcast. And if you have a smart TV, Roku also has Brighteon available to you. Find that app there and subscribe and watch it from the comfort of your own TV. So we're going to be back with our great friend, Mr. Bill Fetter. See you after this break.
Thanks for your support of this platform. Use the code BTV at checkout for additional savings. BrighteonStore.com.
Riots, recession, food prices, gas prices, violation of our liberties. These issues are keeping Americans awake at night. Sleepless nights aren't good for your health. Millions are suffering from sleep gap disorder. I'm Dr. Steve Hodson, and I have a natural solution to overcome this dreaded sleep gap disorder, my proprietary sleep formula. One capsule of sleep formula will help you achieve a great night's sleep for as little as 75 cents per night. Visit our website, physicianspreferencevitamins.com, and enter the promo code SLEEPNOW. It's hard to stand up against tyranny when you're tired. Pray for our country and get a good night's sleep.
Welcome back to America Unhinged. We are beginning here for this next 22-minute segment on Thanksgiving week. And we're going to have our good friend Bill Federer on here. But before we do, I just want to remind you that Dr. Alan Keyes is available for speaking engagements. We kept him quite busy there for most of the summer and into the early fall. So if you'd be interested in having him speaking at one of your events, please contact us there at imtv.us, and we will make the proper introductions for you. Being at Thanksgiving week, I do want to start with one scripture verse. And this is one that's probably familiar to most people, but I don't really know how much they actually apply it to their life. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 5:18. And it says this, it says, in everything, give thanks. Okay, in everything. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of Christ Jesus in you. And I know when I was in seminary, we were told a story about Corrie Ten Boom. And if you know Corrie Ten Boom, she was persecuted during the Nazis invasion, I guess you'd say, of Germany. And she was thrown in a concentration camp in Ravensbrück. And they were in a barracks and they were having a Bible study in the barracks. And someone was complaining about the fleas, and they had just read a scripture verse earlier in the morning and said, give thanks in all things, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. So they began to pray about all the things, and then her sister said, Lord, thank you for the fleas that were biting them and everything else. And she said she wondered how in the world somebody could be thankful for, Corrie Ten Boom said, how can someone be thankful for fleas? Well, it turned out, you know, just like most things in hindsight, you know, we don't necessarily see what God was doing, but none of the guards, nobody would come into their barracks because it was, infiltrated with all these fleas. So they had the freedom to pray, freedom to read the Bible, freedom to teach their entire barracks about Jesus Christ, which, again, you're talking a lot of people who were not followers of Christ at the time. The supervisors and the guards wouldn't come into the barracks. So she did understand how she could be thankful for those. And that's in her book, if you've ever read Corrie Ten Boom's book. So it's very important that we keep a spirit of thanksgiving in our own heart, even when things don't look right. God's got a bigger plan. Consider Job. You know, how many people, if they went through what Job would do, would be able to fall down and just worship God and thank him, even though he'd lost family and lost pretty much everything. So we may be running into a time here in this nation where things get kind of dark, but the only thing you can't let get in the way is you can't allow that to turn you against God. You can't be like Job, or Satan accused Job of, you know, strike him and he will curse you. And he did not. And even his wife said, curse God and die. And he said, you speak like the foolish women. So you have to understand the sovereignty of God. If you're in the will of God, then whatever's happening is happening for a reason. Make sure you keep a thankful heart so that bitterness does not creep in. So today we're going to have our good friend Bill Federer. As you know him, he's a great historian. And we're going to let him just wow you with his knowledge of Thanksgiving and Thanksgiving week. Bill, welcome to the program.
Hey, great to be with you, John.
So you and I have talked off camera a lot about this stuff over the years. Share the viewers, you know, the significance of Thanksgiving and what was happening and how they got here. It's a very great story.
Yeah, well, we start in Europe, and originally Europe was Catholic, and then the Reformation starts in 1517 with Martin Luther, and then the Muslims invade in 1529 with Sultan Suleiman the Magnificent, and the Ottoman Empire conquered all of North Africa, which used to be Christian. There were 250 Catholic dioceses along North Africa. St. Augustine of Hippo was from Carthage, but it was all conquered by the Umayyad Muslims. Of course, they had Spain for 700 years. And then the Muslims had conquered Egypt, which had been completely Christian for six centuries, evangelized by the Apostle Mark, right? You know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, or the writer of the Gospel, Mark. The Muslims conquered Jerusalem and Syria in 648 AD. So that had been Christian for nearly six centuries. Syria was evangelized by the Apostle Paul. And then the Turkish Muslims invaded Turkey. Back then, it was the Byzantine Christian Empire. So all seven churches mentioned in the book of Revelation were wiped out. Greek Christians begged the Catholic West for help. They sent help. It's called the Crusades. When they end, the Muslims conquer Constantinople, the biggest city in the world. And they cut off the land routes to India in 1453, and that's when Columbus set sail in 1492. So everybody that hates Columbus needs to realize the reason he set sail was Islamic jihad, conquering the eastern trade routes to India and China. But then finally in 1529, they're at the gates of Vienna. And so the defender of Europe is the Catholic Holy Roman Emperor of Spain, Charles V. He tries to stop the Reformation. He tries to stop the Islamic invasion. But when France decides to side with the Ottoman Empire, then Spain can't fight all of them. And that's when the King of Spain decides to make a deal with the Protestants. It's called the Peace of Augsburg of 1555. And this is the first time that Protestantism is recognized in a treaty. And it had a major effect. It let every king decide what's going to be believed in his kingdom. So you immediately have Europe dividing into different faiths. And so England was Anglican, Scotland was Presbyterian, Holland was Dutch Reformed, Switzerland was Calvinist, and you had Greece was Greek Orthodox, Russia was Russian Orthodox, and then Italy, Spain, France, etc., stayed Catholic. But if you didn't believe the way your king did, you were considered a treason to the king, and so you were persecuted and you fled. So now Europe is thrown into this mass migration of people shifting from one country to another for conscience sake. Those were the ones that spilled over and founded colonies in America. So we go from a Catholic Europe, an Islamic invasion, the king lets every kingdom decide, and so we have these different faiths, we have this mass migration, and then we zoom in on England, because that's where the pilgrims came from. And so the king of England was Henry VIII, and he originally was Catholic. And he was married to the daughter of the king of Spain. All these families were intermarried back then, these royal families. Well, Catherine of Aragon, the daughter of the king of Spain, she did not have a son. A daughter married, but not a son. And after 18 years, Henry VIII decides to divorce her. The Pope won't recognize the divorce because she is, after all, the daughter of the most powerful guy in the world, the king of Spain. And so Henry VIII says, you know what? I'm going to make myself my own pope. And he starts the Church of England. He puts himself on as the head. And there's the Archbishop of Canterbury and Archbishop of York and curates and deacons and vicars and priests. And it's a hierarchical system with the king at the top. And his advisors tell him if he's serious about breaking from Rome, he needs to stop using that Latin Bible. Get an English Bible. The German princes have Martin Luther's German Bible. That helped them to break away from Rome. So Henry says, fine, get me one. And so it just so happens that Henry VIII had William Tyndale burnt at the stake a few years earlier for translating the Bible into English. And William Tyndale's last words were, Lord, open the King of England's eyes. And now the king wants an English Bible. And so they take Tyndale's work, polish it up, call it the Great Bible. Henry likes it, orders a copy put in every church in England. He dusts his hands and says, that's it. We have broken from Rome. No more Latin stuff. We got our own English Bible. Well, he thinks that that solved the problem, but something unexpected happened. People began to read it and began to compare what's in the Bible to this king divorcing and beheading his wives and claiming to be the head of Christ Church. So a group starts that wants to purify the Church of England, and they're nicknamed the Puritans. And they're sort of a resistance inside of the system. Well, there's another group that said it's beyond hope of purifying. We're going to separate ourselves. And they would meet in secret in barns and basements by candlelight. And they go by different names, Baptist, Congregationalists, later the Quakers. And of course, we call the original ones pilgrims. And they flee to Holland, and then they flee to America. And so if I have a moment, John, I'd like to explain a little bit about the beliefs the pilgrims had. And you're keeping track of the clock, so I don't want to go over.
No, great. I just, as you were talking, I was thinking about how Europe was broken into Calvinism and Protestantism and Catholic and everything. And really, even a lot of the early founding colonies here were set up that way. You know, Massachusetts had one kind of religion. The Quakers were here in Pennsylvania, you know, and there was different sects here to start America, too. So I thought it was kind of ironic or funny. But yeah, let's talk about the pilgrims, since that's the subject of today.
Yeah, so the king's attitude was, yes, you can read the Bible in your own language, but no, you can't believe whatever you want. You have to believe what I tell you to believe. I'm the king. So you do not make up prayers, because you could make up a prayer that's wrong. So the government wrote all the possible prayers they could think of down in a book. It's called the Book of Common Prayer. And when you want to pray, you just open it to the right page and read the prayer. And if you're caught with a small group and you're making up your own prayers, the FBI will kick in your door, arrest you, drag you away to a government hearing room, sort of like a January 6th hearing room, and they'll intimidate you and get you to confess to stuff you didn't do, and they would twist your arm and they would brand you on the face as a heretic and even cut off your ear or cut your nose in half. And so the government would then put you in a cell and let you rot away for days, weeks, months, years. Could you imagine the government doing this to people, dragging them out of their homes and interrogating them and then putting them in cells and just letting them waste away for years? And then the government passed the 5-Mile Act. If you were caught preaching within 5 miles of a town without having gotten approval of the government, you're a criminal. And they'll drag you before that star chamber. And then they passed the Conventicle Act. Comes from the word covenant, where Jesus said, where two or more are gathered in my name, I'm there in the midst. And so if you have a small group meeting, they later changed the name of it to the Riot Act. And so you'd be having your Bible study, the FBI would show up, all right? They'd pull out a piece of paper and read the Riot Act, which says everyone must immediately disperse or we will arrest you, drag you before this January 6th hearing room, we'll lock you away in a cell where you'll never be seen again. And it was so serious, it went into our vernacular, right? Read them the Riot Act, right? And so who was caught during this? John Bunyan. He had a Bible study. He hadn't gotten it approved by the government. They drag him away. He says, better to be persecuted than be the persecutor. He spends 12 years wasting away in one of those cells. And that's when he wrote Pilgrim's Progress. And so this was the setting that the pilgrims were going through. Now, a little big picture. I always like to zoom in and zoom out. We still have the Muslims conquering. And they're having the biggest battle on the Mediterranean. It's called the Battle of Lepanto, excuse me. And it's in 1571. Well, the Spanish defeat the Muslim Turks, but rather than celebrating this victory by going around the Mediterranean, freeing cities up from Islamic control, Spain decides to smash the Reformation in Holland and in England. And so in 1572, they send the Iron Duke of Alba into Holland, and he butchers tens of thousands in Antwerp, Holland, leaves piles of bodies in the street. And then the King of Spain, by now it's the son of Charles V, it's named Philip II, he sends his armada to England to smash the Reformation in England. And then we sort of skip it because we're not French speakers, but what was going on in France? You have Catherine de' Medici. Now, the Florence had a very wealthy family called the Medicis, and they married off their kids to like all these monarchs of Europe. And Catherine de' Medici was the queen of France. And her husband dies, and so she's ruling France through her young son. And she marries the young son to Mary, Queen of Scots. And so they're like, you know, 13 and 14 years old, you know, I mean, they're just young. Well, that son dies. And rather than this young girl being made the Queen of France, it was the Catherine de' Medici sends her back to Scotland. And so Mary, Queen of Scots, goes back to Scotland where John Knox preaches to her. And then Catherine de' Medici rules France through another son. And then he dies, and then she's ruling through another. But during this time, she wants to marry one of her daughters to the very popular Protestant leader, Henry of Navarre. So about 15% of France was Protestant. They were called Huguenots or Huguenots, and they have a wedding in Paris. And a couple days after the wedding, is the St. Bartholomew's Day massacre. Catherine de' Medici orders all the chains pulled across all the streets in Paris. So at every street corner, they'd have these big stone things with chains, and they would pull these chains across and lock them. Why? So that carriages could not go out of the city. And then she had her soldiers go house to house killing Protestants, like 30,000 of them. And they throw their bodies in the same river. The river's red with blood. And then she proceeds to kill all the Protestants she can find all across France. And so a bunch of these Protestants flee, try to start the first colony in North America, Fort Caroline around Jacksonville. But the Spanish find out about it and butcher them as well. And so John Calvin, he is in Switzerland, but he also is in Switzerland, has three languages, Italian, German, and French. And so the Zurich area is where he's at. It's French speaking. And so John, the attitude in Europe was you obey the king, divine right of kings. Kings are chosen by God and you just have to submit to them, right? Romans 13, submit to the king. Well, John Calvin, he's faced with this dilemma where the king wants to kill you. And you're just, how are you supposed to submit to that? And so he writes in the readings on the prophet Daniel in 1561. He says, when kings disobey God, they automatically abdicate their worldly power. And then he goes on and he says, he who does not make his reign subservient to the divine glory acts the part not of a king, but a robber. We are subject to the men who rule over us, but subject only in the Lord. If they command anything against him, let us not pay the least regard to it. Sort of like in the Bible, it says, children submit to your parents. But what if the parent tells the kid to go out and sell himself into prostitution, deal drugs, and kill their neighbor? Is the kid supposed to obey the parent? No, you obey the parent as long as the parent is obeying God. And so this applied. Calvin said, okay, look, the king has basically unkinged himself. And he says, the king has exceeded his limits by raising his horn against God and virtually abrogated his power. And so these John Calvin, the Calvinists, the Geneva Bible, they begin to study how to have a government without a king. And it's they look back to the Bible, and they look back to that first 400 years out of Egypt before King Saul. It's called the Hebrew Republic. And when you study history, you see there's pharaohs and Caesars and Kaisers and Sultans. It's all kings. But there's this anomaly. Around 1400 BC, Israel comes out of Egypt. And for 400 years, they do not have a king. It's called the Hebrew Republic. These Puritan Calvinist scholars studied that so much, they were nicknamed Christian Hebraists. And they were experts at this period of history. And so the king of England looked to the Bible for his authority, but he looked to the King Saul and on period of the anointed king. These Calvinist Puritans looked to the Bible for their authority, but they looked to the pre-King Saul period, the original plan that God gave to the Israelites, that everybody was taught the law, everybody walked around aware that they were personally accountable to God to follow the law. And of course, God knew they would break the law. And so they had the whole system of sacrifice that foreshadowed Christ. And that ultimately was the Day of Atonement, where once a year they'd offer the sacrifice and everyone's sins in the country were forgiven. And they could all start the new year off with a clean slate. And obviously that's foreshadowing Jesus. But this Calvinist Puritan idea gave birth to congregational churches. So instead of the hierarchical church, where it's a clergy-laity model, where the clergy does all the ministry with the king at the top and the laity is lazy and watches, the congregational model is body-oriented, right? Jesus says, upon this rock, I'll build my ecclesia, my church, but the word he uses is the word ecclesia or ecclesia. And so in Athens, Greece, they had 6,000 citizens, and they would call every one of them out to the Agora marketplace to discuss what's going to happen in the city. And the word citizen is Greek. It means co-king. And so Jesus chose this word. He's basically saying, upon this rock, I'll build my body, the body of Christ. And there's an ear, an eye, a foot. Everybody does something. And so that's what these Calvinist Puritans emphasized. The Geneva Bible didn't use the word church at all. It used the word assembly or congregation. And so this began to come up with a church government that was body oriented, a covenant, and then that turned into a civil alternative to a king, which we call a constitution. And so the king didn't like this congregational model and would persecute them. And King James said, I will make them conform themselves, or else I will harry them out of the land or do even worse. And when we come back from the break, I'll explain all these different alternatives to a king form of government.
Hey, Bill. Great. No, that's perfect stuff. I do have a guest on for the second segment.
Okay.
I did want to bring up one thing that you made very, very clear to me, and I knew it, but you really emphasized, is how much Protestants were persecuted throughout Europe. I mean, it was, they were just slaughtered. I learned it in seminary through church history, but you bring the historian side of it that I really appreciate more than anything, because people don't understand that the English Bill of Rights actually gave Protestants the right to bear arms to defend themselves against that.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right.
I appreciate you coming on. Tell the people where they can find you.
Well, thank you. AmericanMinute.com. AmericanMinute.com. And a book is Who is the King in America? And that's the one that talks about the people are the king, and they got their idea from these Calvinist churches.
Hey, man. Yeah, and that's the one that you spoke on when I had you here speak right before the quote-unquote pandemic, man. You went on for an hour and people were sad that your talk was over. So that's one of the gifts you have. You can talk for an hour and people stay entertained and they're not looking at their watches. Brother, God bless you. Have a happy Thanksgiving and appreciate what you do.
Hi, I'm Titus. I'm Isaac. We are the Smith Bros, and we love Uncensored Truth, which is why you need to be with Brighteon TV. They're so awesome. Go to Brighteon TV right now.
Right now.
Oh my goodness, we love Brighteon TV. We are so excited that they are bringing quality content to the American public that has been starving for this stuff due to all the censorship.
I know, it's amazing how necessity is the mother of invention, and as much as we hate the censorship, it's amazing because Brighteon, things like Brighteon, come into fruition, and so we're really excited about that. We're Spiro Pictures. This is Joy, my wife, and I am Mr. Joy. I'm Matt there, and we're filmmakers, and we make what documentaries do we make, babe?
We've done Reawakening series. We've done the Trump I Know, and we have done Selection Code.
Yep. And so we're just gonna sign out and say bye. But we love Brighteon. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
The older we get, the less IGF is produced by our body naturally. IGF is a substance that's naturally found in your body. Just like these guys that go to the gym, work out, play professional sports, use creatine, which is naturally found in the body. They supplement protein, which is naturally found in the body. Other multivitamins that you take every day, just like that, you supplement the IGF in your body. You can do that at keystolife.shop. This is the stuff that makes men men again. All right, you spray it in your mouth a couple times a day, boom. Lean muscle gain, healthy weight loss, more restful sleep, positive energy gain, crystal clear thinking, all of these things. These are benefits from the proper levels of IGF in your system, which naturally you lose over time. Go do the research on your own. Keys, the number 2, life.shop. Again, keystolife.shop. Great deals over there, by the way, when you put the product on auto ship, and you should. It's not a lifetime contract. You can cancel at any time, but you should try this stuff for about 3 months to really see the positive gain. I'm speaking from personal experience. Go to keys2life.shop. Make sure that you tell them that Stu Peters sent you when you go to keys2life.shop.
Welcome back to America Unhinged. My name is Dr. John Diamond. Again, find me at AmericaUnhingedRadio.com. Bill Federer, I mean, I almost have to give him an entire hour because he is just a wealth of information. And I really hate, you know, stopping him. And I want to learn more. And I'm taking notes. I'm glad the camera's not on me because I'm over here taking notes the whole time he's talking. He's been a great asset to me with creating a lot of the courses and the curriculum. Him and David Barton and a few others have done a great job just spending, you know, most of their life, you know, researching stuff that most of us would never even think to research or probably couldn't find if we tried. So I would encourage you to go over to his website. He's got a slew of books there. Start to use those in your own, you know, churches, start to use them in your homeschooling groups, your co-ops or whatever, because you're going to be taught history that is not taught anything else. And other than theology and the Bible, I think history is probably number two in the things that we need to be teaching ourselves and teaching our kids. In our second segment, there's a guy on that I just met. His name's Kurt Finney. He's got the Water Revolution. And I began looking over his stuff. You guys know that I've said, you know, often on this program that we're here to lift others up. We're here to promote others. Jesus said, give, asking nothing in return. And that's really what we want to do is we want to help even the followers of this show. So, Kurt, welcome to the program this morning.
Thanks a lot, Dr. John. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, you got a great looking setup there. I mean, that's a very impressive studio looking thing and microphone. So it's glad to see you might actually have a better internet connection than me.
Well, we learned by trying. You know how it is. It's failure way to success.
That's exactly right. So I wanted to just out of curiosity sake, and we talked about this off camera. How did you learn about Brighty on TV and how did you learn about my show that you made that initial contact?
Well, I've been following Mike for years and listening to most of his, you know, material. So when he interviewed you, I guess it was 3-4 weeks ago, you know, I was listening to that and I was very impressed with your demeanor and strength and, you know, where you were coming from and the whole concept of, you know, America Unhinged, and especially your guests like Bill. I mean, Bill is a tremendous teacher. I just downloaded his audiobook on Audible. I was delighted to see that was there. And he really understands, you know, the Christian background of America. And that's the problem, that it's just not taught and explained today. So it's a great show and I'm glad to be a part of it.
Just a phenomenal job with his show and all his followers. Matter of fact, I was on his show and my cousin, who I know and he knows I have a show, he came up afterwards and was like, I didn't know you know Mike Adams. I see this guy almost every other day, and it was kind of funny that he said that. But yeah, Mike does a great thing, and then coming into partnership with the team here at Brighty on TV and IM TV Studios is just it's a move of God. It's a blessing.
Yes. And Dr. Doug Pfeiffer is a longtime friend of mine and client, also.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
it's great to see him on your show. I was really surprised. It was great.
Yeah, I get a. To so many great people. Matter of fact, I just emailed him like 5 minutes before the show. So that's the one great thing about it is not only the referrals and somebody will call me up later and say, thanks for having me on the show, talking about whatever it is. And they're like, have you ever talked to? And then boom. And then that's how I find out about people. But one of the things that I wanted to do with you, because again, nobody did this for me back in 2006 when I came out with my first book that if people would have heeded it, would have saved us a whole lot of the headache that we went through during COVID. But I wanted to make sure that I never did that. So, you know, people who are out there who have a good word, a good product, a good message that they want to get out there, I'm more than willing to, you know, to bring them on, especially if they share our, you know, theology and our ideology with America. And you do that. So with tell us about your water system there.
Well, you know, I grew up in New York. My dad was a dentist, and, you know, we were taught that water is water, and the only difference is whether it's pure or not. And, of course, we had great water in Long Island in the city because it was heavily fluoridated, and that was so good for your teeth and, you know, all the other story that's pushed out there. And it wasn't until probably 2000 roundabouts that I started to learn that there was a whole lot more to water than just cleanliness. Yes, it's important to remove toxins and chemicals, but, you know, the energy side, the structuring of the water, the way that it behaves in the body, you know, bulk water versus bio water is very, very significant. There's been a lot of scientific studies done, many books written in the last 10 years about that. To me, the most fascinating thing is how, you know, the water is really a memory and information exchange system in the body. In fact, we often refer to, you know, water that's bio water that's molecularly arranged as water that's in formation. And, you know, that's a clue. And it's really important. So, you know, a lot of us have heard that water is 75%, you know, the body's makeup by weight or mass. But what's also true is that because the water molecule is so tiny, 99% plus of the molecules in the body are actually water molecules. So we really are, water beans. And that's not a surprise to a lot of people. But, you know, the kind of water that we have access to on a daily basis is very, very important. So we make products at Water Revolution that are designed to create a water that's more akin energetically to the water that you'd find in a fast-moving stream or a fresh organic spring. So that's kind of the theme that rides behind everything we do. And the other thing, I mean, I'm a businessman. I'm a working man like everybody here. And, you know, we want to make products that are affordable. And we have products that are up to 600% less cost than others. And that's because we manufacture everything we sell here in North Carolina. So we're excited about what we have going on. We've got over 600 doctors now that are on board with us over the last 12 years that use our products in their practice and refer our products to others. We've really never done any marketing on the internet, but we're getting ready to get started to do that and really get the word out. And one of our products called Ready Pure is an emergency gravity-fed water filter that's a lot different than others on the market. Not only is it structurally stronger, but it's got phenomenal filtration. And we have the added benefit of being able to couple on our post cartridges, which create an alkaline antioxidant water from that gravity-fed water. And those cartridges fit, you know, other makes and models that are out there, not just ours.
Looking over your stuff and talking with you, the two things that really stood out to me, and we can talk about both of those things. One is the purity of the water. You know, I mean, the Bible talks a lot about the water of life and how important water is. And people don't realize, I don't think, you know, I mean, I think they kind of understand it in a superficial form that we're mostly made up of water. And then it just kind of just goes in one ear and out the other. But if we're mostly made up by water, then what is the condition of the water that we're putting into us? Right. You know, and that's the one of the things that you bring out is that the purity of the water. Now, fortunately, I live way out in the country. I live right next to basically a forest and at the bottom of a mountain. So, I mean, I'm getting basically natural spring water, but that is rare. That is extremely rare. It's even rare in the country because you got all the runoff from the pesticides. You got all the runoff from a lot of other things. Fortunately, my water's probably about as good as you're going to get without help from what you do. But just talk about what the water and what really what most people end up drinking just out of, especially if they're in a city or municipal region.
Well, we know that there's thousands of chemicals that have been introduced to the water supply, you know, some for specific reasons, other for more larger, you know, more evil reasons than an awful lot just due to manufacturing, you know, and the ease of waste. And so it's really important, you know, to try to remove a lot of that from what we take in on a daily basis. The problem is that we can create a chemicalized, you know, purified water that's not only devoid of contaminants, but it's also devoid of natural energies and natural structuring, which is a bad thing because, you know, although we're not taking in toxins, perhaps, you know, with the purified water, we're taking in a water that for all intents and purposes is foreign in the body. And the body has to then, you know, take energy away from other things, you know, like immune activity in order to manipulate and transform that water into something that it can use as bio water, you know, and intracellular water. So, you know, we think that we're making a lot of progress with what we've designed, you know, along those lines to create a water that's much more easily uptaked in the body. And I'm not a doctor and we never make medical claims. And, you know, I wouldn't tout, you know, specific instances of people feeling better or getting better. But I mean, I can't count them in a book, you know, the testimony that we've had over the last 10 years now, you know, with results that people have gotten. So it's a pretty phenomenal water. And I think it's the most affordable solution out there for a very high energy wellness water. And that's really the way that we promote it. You know, we tell people, look, you know, drink the water, see what your body has to say about it, and then you'll know for yourself, you know, what those benefits are.
Yeah, and kind of as a theologian, and I've studied health and the body, and, you know, I understand we're fearfully and wonderfully made, and the body's the most perfectly designed system, you know, out there, you know, that we've got a, you know, we've got a filtration system, we got our kidneys, we got our liver, we got a lot of other things, and, you know, I believe God created the body to basically filtrate itself. You know, I mean, I even know the Mayo Clinic recommends drinking almost 2 2-liter bottles a day. I mean, if we just did that, and especially with pure water and the kind of the stuff that you're bringing to the table. But I mean, if we just drank, you know, 2 liters of water every day, we would push most of the chemicals. And I mean, the sickness rates would go down. Our health would be much better. I think that's why they really don't want us to do that. I've known people that I've worked with. I was a lineman for 20 years. I've worked with people who would walk in the morning with a Coke, and then they'll drink a Coke at lunch, and they'll drink a Coke, you know, whatever, you know, a soft drink. And I'm, you know, as I've spent, because we spend 24 hours together during storms and stuff like that, and I look at people and I'm like, that's all you're doing is not only are you pouring junk into your body, but you're not even flushing any of the junk out. So
that's the problem.
Yeah. And I mean, we're going to have to get to a point, especially the way the healthcare system is and how corrupt and bad it is. I mean, we're going to have to be taking care of our own health and water. I mean, yeah, we got supplements. I work with Dr. Mark Sherwood. There's things that you can do to reverse a lot of stuff. To me, water's got to be one of the most critical things that we need to keep in front of our minds of keeping our body, you know, purified.
That's right. That's extremely well said, Dr. John. You know, water is so significant. And, you know, we own a nutrition company also. So, you know, I can see firsthand the results of our water products along with the right kinds of foods and intake. And you're also right, you know, that most disease, in my opinion, is a function of the body not being able to get rid of the waste, you know, properly. So much of the food that we take in, you know, I call it plastic paste, which is really what it is. I know that's not a scientific term, but the body gets so clogged up with this junk. And because we're not drinking the right kind of water, we're not able to flush it out properly. And eventually, you know, like a situation where garbage trucks don't show up, it just becomes overwhelming. And the body starts to try to pack these toxins, you know, into different areas of the body. And you get all kinds of unnatural things, you know, that are happening. And of course, our medical system today has a lot of choices and things that you can do, you know, supposedly to arrest this. But, you know, why not just you know, avoid the problem altogether. I mean, you know, Jay Cordich, the juice man, used to say, live food, live body. And, you know, we like to say, live water, live body. And of course, the inverse is dead water, dead body. So we're here to help. And, you know, we've got a tremendous sale going on right now for the holidays. We're about 20% off on everything that we sell, 15% on whole house systems and energizing systems for the home. And also all of our practitioner commercial systems are also on sale 15%. So, and we've got a few items like this Ready Pure emergency gravity fed unit that are actually 25% off right now. So, you know, check it out, take advantage of that. Those products are never going to be more affordable than they are right now. And we custom build everything we sell here in North Carolina. So we're able to help with whatever special needs, you know, that you have, including our simple pump system, which is a way to be able to get water out of your well, even without electricity, which could become a big issue as we move forward. So we're here to help, and we appreciate you so much.
Yeah, and that was the second thing that I had in my notes to talk to you about. One is the purity of the water, and to emphasize to people, you know, God tells you to fast for a reason. He wants you to give your body a rest so it can purify itself. So if you go on a 2 or 3 day water fast, you're purging yourself, you know, and you're making yourself healthier. And I've noticed so many people have never even fasted one meal a day, let alone trying to do it for 2 or 3. So the purification and the detoxification of the body is very important. The other thing I wanted to talk to you about, and I'm glad you just said that, because again, I live in the country with a well and we lose power and electricity. I could be running into a problem here. Talk to us about this one. I want to kind of finish the last 7 minutes talking about is the emergency preparation, because this is what Mike Adams talks about a lot. You know, what's going to happen if our grid goes down? How am I going to get water out of my well?
That's right.
You know, talk a little bit about that system that you were just mentioning.
Well, I mean, you know, we can live for up to a month, some of us even more, you know, without food. But water, you can't go more than 3 or 4 days. And it's so essential. And, you know, the last thing we want to have happen in a shutdown scenario whatever that emphasis might be, is we don't want to have to go to a government checkpoint, you know, to get water or fight people at the grocery store, you know, for the bottled water. So, you know, being able to get water, clean water, potable water, to me is a huge priority. And the ReadyPure emergency gravity-fed filter allows you to take any groundwater and create a potable water. I mean, it's a very sophisticated system. We've known for decades about, you know, how great the, you know, ceramic cartridges are. Ours are very finely crafted. They're very high quality. And we also have an infill media inside of them, which allow those same filters to beat back a lot of the other chemicals and toxins. Now, you're not going to get full-blown purification out of a system like that, but you get close. And of everything we sell, you know, that ReadyPure, other than the RO-based AlkaPurity, is really the best in terms of removing material from the water. And they're very affordable. I mean, our prices are better than anybody else, I think, for a quality unit. And, you know, with this sale, it's even more so. And again, you've got the ability to add on those lower post cartridges, which allow you to create alkaline antioxidant water from this ReadyPure system. And it's non-electric. It sits on your counter. It's very convenient. Now, you know, the issue is for a family that goes through a lot of water, you know, throughout the day, they really need an under-sink system where that water is just going to continue to flow, you know, filling up the container of ReadyPure, you know, day in and day out really isn't suitable for a large family. But I tell you, we've got systems to cover you no matter what you're looking for. And then in terms of well water, you know, on my farm, we've got three different wells. And our water not only is terrible in terms of water quality, we live in the middle of tobacco farm country, you know, very rural like you are, Dr. John. And, you know, for decades, there's been an infiltration of other chemicals and things that are put into the aquifer. They work their way in there. And so, you know, we have to have whole house treatment, you know, systems to arrest that. And the other thing is, should the electric ever go out? I mean, I know my well is powered by 220 electricity. I'm sure most are. You're just not able to simply hook up a generator and make that work without very specific attachments. And then they create noise and you've got fuel and maybe fuel unavailability, you know, like we're seeing now. So the ability to hand pump, and more specifically hand pump into pressure, is very important, because I can go to my well house and I can pump my simple pump into my pressure tank. And now the water just flows in my house like it normally does, except for the fact that I have to run out there every day and pump again. But I don't have to fill buckets and carry them in, which is a great benefit. So simple pump's the way to go. We looked at many different systems out there. We chose to partner with them because they simply have the best product at the best price. And we offer a deeper discount, you know, through your website, which is drjohnwater.com. So anybody interested in learning more can go to drjohnwater.com, and that's DR abbreviated. So drjohnwater.com. And, you know, we've got a special discount for you this month. And then after this month, we're even going to continue to have a special discount for all the America Unhinged listeners. So make a note of that. Better to get a hold of us, though, here by next Tuesday if you can, because you'll save a lot of money.
Yeah, no, and I appreciate you guys setting that up again. My, you know, I don't do anything really with that motive behind it. I'm not a marketer or a salesman or anything else. Sure. I'm here more than anything. I appreciate that. I really do. I'm here just to help people and realize, I mean, we it may come to a point. One of the things fortunate about me is I live up here in the hills and in the mountains where, like, spring water just comes right out of the ground. So, I mean, I mean, it's what we use for our, but I mean, 99.9% of the American people do not have that. So, you know, I have to be ready to help others, because if things go belly up, I mean, water is life. If you don't have water, you don't have life. And now you can use that to help others, and people can come and, you know, hey, you guys need some water. You know, I've got the system set up that you can get some water free. The grid goes down, or, you know, anything happens. So your products are just very, very important. Again, this is about making money or anything else. It's about health and it's about life, for the most part, because water is life. So
that's right.
That's why I think you're probably like one of the first people I've got on that really wasn't talking about something that from a theological perspective or maybe a historical perspective. But there's a lot of people out you, a lot of patriots that we really need to bond together, even in the business world and in the business realm, and quit playing with these people that hate us and want to kill us and everything else. So, your products are so very important. I definitely want to follow up with you when we get off the air here about that, because I do. I have a 220 well system, so unless I get a generator that's able to, you know, produce 220 volts of water, I'm not getting any water out of my well. So
it's
either buckets, and I'm not looking forward. We just had a blizzard up here. I'm not looking forward to going out in a blizzard and trying to bucket water out of a 110-foot well. So your stuff is so very, very important. I'm looking at your website right now, and if the producer can go ahead and put up that water/revolution.com, and there's your website right there. Just a lot of great products, a lot of good stuff there. Is there anything else? We got about a minute and a half left. Anything else?
With this, you know, the other thing too, you know, is the bathing and the showering. And the body can take an awful lot of water in, you know, during a bath and a shower. Not enough people take baths, in my opinion. Very, very important. You know, we know about the chemical, you know, introduction and the science and technology introduction. I'll say it that way, that we see now happening, you know, in various forms. And one excellent delivery system, because it's so soluble, is water. And so, you know, how easy would it be, you know, for the enemy to infiltrate that and affect all of us? So taking personal responsibility, you know, for the cleanliness and energy attributes of your water is very significant. We've got a whole house system called the Helix Energizer that I designed about 6 years ago. We built the first prototype about 4 years ago. And it's a clip-on device that goes into your inner house plumbing. It's extremely well-made. It's pressurizable up to 300 PSI. So it even has commercial application. And it's under $400.
That's and perfect. All right, Kurt, we got about 10 seconds left here. I appreciate you coming on. I definitely want to do this again with you later, because you offer a service that is really probably going to be much needed in this country in the days coming forward. So God bless you. Appreciate it. Everybody else, I'll see you tomorrow.